Thank you, Paula and Barbara, for reading this morning. And in that first reading, I wonder whether you were able to imagine what was being said to us by John. John was drawing on the Old Testament imagery that we perhaps don't know so well as his readers would have known it, the imagery from the book of Daniel and from the prophet Isaiah. And what John is looking at, he's both looking back at that imagery. He's looking to the present time and the persecution that the church is going through. And he's also looking to the future. In fact, a double future, because it's a future that involves us and it is a future about the coming kingdom. Why is this chosen for today? Today is All Saints' Day. And we're talking about how the saints are all God's faithful children. And those who are gathered there around the throne, without number, it says, all people from tribes and languages standing by the throne before the Lamb. So this is an image of all those who have been God's faithful children. And that links us nicely to the reading from 1 John about where we are, God's children now. And so the flock around that throne are gathered from many nations. It put in my mind the readings we have at Pentecost of how all were gathered together in the city and heard God's word proclaimed in their own tongue. And if you think about that image, and you think about those without number, I wonder whether you can see yourself there, as it were, in that image of the future, because we are all God's saints, all God's children. No one who believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour is excluded. And the dressing in the white robes is a sign of celebration and praise. And one thinks of the guests putting on their wedding garments for the royal wedding feast. And they've all been welcomed if they have given a positive response to God's invitation. For all are invited, but not all decide to accept that invitation. And they're wearing white for celebration and worship. All that is dirty has been cleansed, as John says, that they have been cleansed through the blood of the Lamb. They have washed their robes and made them white. And it's again part of this symbolism that blood was seen as a purifying mechanism for purifying utensils. And in Hebrews, the writer says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, the pouring out of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. John then goes on to remind us that Jesus is present there in this image. He is there both as lamb and shepherd. And the imagery of how the blood is washing the robes is a sign that blood indicates both life and death. And we have been purified from our sins by the death of Jesus on the cross. He's given us life through that purifying action. And we have victory through our faith in Jesus Christ. He gives the means, and we must make our response. And how can we do that? Well, we do that through penitence and faith. And we do that by using the tools that God has given us through reading the scriptures and through prayer together and through Christian conversation. We learn to live out our lives as Christians in fellowship together one with another. And through that protection that Jesus gives us as our shepherd, we receive that comfort and sustenance to enable us to live out our lives as saints. As John says at the end of this passage, He will guide them to spring. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. And so God has given us that promise of protection, sustenance, and comfort. So while this is a vision given to John of the end times, it also speaks to us today. All the saints are here, set apart, worshipping God. Set apart, interesting, isn't it? Because, of course, sadly, we are set apart today. We are set apart from our friends in Zoom world who can't actually be hearing what we're saying this morning. But they are, in their own way, in their own collection, gathering in worship just as we are. And that's going to be testing for us again, isn't it, over these next few weeks as we revert back to our Zoom world, where we will not be able to gather together. But nonetheless, we are still church. We are still set apart, called out as God's saints. And what does that mean in our lives? The angels led this wonderful refrain. You might like to look back on this when you get home. In verse 12, the angels were singing, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honour and power and might be to our God for ever and ever." So we call blessing on God for his goodness and his kindness to us, for the blessing which indeed he himself gives to us. We give glory to God for his majesty, for his rule, his benevolent rule of our world and of our lives. We give thanks to God for his wisdom as the giver of knowledge and on whom we wait to impart that knowledge to us. We give him thanksgiving for our salvation, and may we never be ungrateful for the grace that he pours on us through that saving grace as we are led to our place in heaven. We give him the honour through our worship, and it's an opportunity for us as we gather in worship to give back to God. We often lay our needs and our hopes and our requests before him, but as we come in worship, we are giving to God, not seeking to receive from him. And as we give God we remember God's power, which is worked out through his purpose in us and for us. And finally, all might comes from God as he gives that and returns that to us to meet the challenges and responsibilities of our time as Christians, so that we can indeed live out our lives as saints. And as we celebrate as a complete community of faith, together and apart, we reflect that image of Jesus both in ourselves and in this worshiping community. We are part of this celebration today as we are saints today. We may be thinking about those who have influenced and helped us in the past, who pursued their saintly ministry by guiding us, perhaps, in some decisions of our lives. And some of the saints are well known, aren't they? And their deeds are acknowledged and given thanks for. Others live quiet, saintly lives, ministering to those around them in the quietness and in the peace of their own worlds. As Paul reminds us when he wrote to those at Corinth, he says, "To those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints." And even though if you know the letter that Paul wrote, he in fact then went on to chastise the Corinthians for their rift in fellowship. For far from living saintly lives, they were in discord with one another. But nonetheless, they were still called to be saints. Nothing we do qualifies or indeed disqualifies us. It is only acceptance of God's gift that qualifies us, that we follow him as saints, to be set apart, to serve him, to serve one another, to serve our community. And it's also a challenge to us to deepen our relationship with God. He offers us an understanding of him, and again picked up by John, where we are reminded that we are God's children now. But it also leads to deeper relationships, one with another. So we have that vertical relationship with God and that horizontal relationship out to each other and into our community. And of course, God needs us to work for him, to be available to him. Some of you may know the words of Teresa of Avila: "Christ has no body now on earth but yours. Yours are the only hands with which he can do his work. Yours are the only feet with which he can go about the world. Yours are the only eyes through which his compassion can shine out upon a troubled world. Christ has no body now on earth but yours." And of course, at every communion, we remind ourselves that we are the body of Christ. So the holiness and humility that we are called to as saints, the transformation of our lives that is begun here on earth and completed in heaven, all is reflected upon our dependency on the Lord, the deepening of our relationship with him, and our participation in our own lives of the joys and sufferings that Jesus went through. No promise for our lives is that we will face it trouble-free, but we are given the strength to come through the trouble as victors, not as victims. And as we are united by our response to God's call to be saints, we gain that strength through the unity of our fellowship. And that's a challenge, isn't it, against the world in which we live, against the human nature that calls everyone to be one of the crowd, to follow the way of the world. Well, we are called to be part of the crowd, but that crowd around the throne of God, a different crowd to the one in the world around us. And while we may be, as we have sung, a small part of God's story, we are an essential part of his plan in our world. So as we reflect today upon being saints, being children of God, we can rejoice in our relationship with him, that he is not a judgmental despot, but rather a loving father to his children. He gives us, as we have read, nourishment and comfort. He gives us spiritual certainty when we live in uncertain times. And that wonderful verse there where we read that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And later on, John writes, death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. God wants us to shelter under his protection. And when God comes and dwells with us, he brings his presence to us. That idea of God dwelling with us reflects the tent with which he exercised his presence in the wilderness as the Israelites left Egypt. And what we are looking at today and sharing in is being part of that now of enjoying the salvation that we can just glimpse and taste as we see the glory of the vision that was revealed to John. And we can have some glimmer of that kingdom in our earthly worship as we share God's love and his sanctification of us as we attempt to grow from being baby saints called to be God's children to fulfill that calling in his life. And so, as children, we seek the Father's plan. But we need to be intentional to understand what is the plan for each one of us called to be saints. How can we fulfill that plan in our lives? And we need to start with gratitude to God for who we are, looking ahead to who we will yet become. And as we talk about sharing God's love around us. I ask us all as we leave this place this morning, to whom can you be that saint this week, set apart by God to love and serve another? And how much is that going to be so much more needed as we enter these coming weeks, as we think of our neighbours who may not be able to face the challenges of lockdown as we are able with our faith? So I just remind us all to think of our neighbours, to make that phone call, to put that note through the door and say, we are thinking of you. May God bless us in these days and assure us of his love. Amen.